Hi guys, it's been a long time. Welcome to the Right Room Podcast. My name is Rupin. I am recording this after a very long time. I know I've been gone for a year. Some of you cared and then sent messages saying like, hey, it's been a while, right? And I thought it's better to get started. Keep me sane and hopefully give you company in doing whatever you've been doing all this time. All the stuff that you've been continuing from the last year. All the new stuff that you plan on doing this year, right? Hope everyone had a great holiday. Happy New Year to everybody. And I think the holidays, you know, are a good reset point if you use it. But it's it's been very rare in my experience that I've actually utilized a holiday for what it was, right? Usually holidays are meant to reset you, give you this break, but then you tend to cram it up with a lot of things. You have a holiday list. Everybody has a holiday list. It's not just a list of places that you want to do, but it's a list of things that you want to do in the places that you visit, right? And sometimes even if you're at home, you're just staying at home, you have a list of things that you want to accomplish, right? Even holidays, we managed to make even holidays stressful thanks to this productivity shit that's been going around for far too long, which is a strange place to be. I'm trying to get myself out of that gap, right? Trying to get myself out of being too productive, which is when I started the podcast, it was all about that. Being productive, yeah, I hope you have a productive week ahead without caring too much about, you know, actually directly having some use into whatever I'm doing, right? Instead of just being busy. So I'm trying to be a little more conscious about that, right? Holidays, like my aim, honestly, right, now that I'm married, my aim has been, like, you know, we've had a few things that we wanted to do. Like, I realized my wife and me, we kind of like art, man, suddenly, right? Even in the lockdown, we both, when we had nothing else to do, right, I would show her some sketches of stuff that I was doing. And what I really got into is, like, you know, it's not tattooing, right? But I think it is sketching the stuff that eventually becomes a tattoo. Because have you noticed a lot of this, a lot of the artwork that's done on tattoos is actually very objectively very cool, right? But somehow after a certain point when it becomes a tattoo, it just becomes one pile of green shit which is there on someone's arm or forearm, or if they're a little gutsy and on their neck probably, right? So yeah, we would just do these tattoo sketches and we'd show, and we used to be like, you know, like, hey, I'm doing this sketch today, I'll show you tomorrow, and she'll do the same thing. So I thought I'd show the art museum, right, in Bangalore. Museums, first of all, like, as soon as many of you heard the word museum, you're like, hey, this is really gay. That's basically everyone's reaction, right, to it. And I don't know, man, like, it's like art is like, some people like drawing, right? Some people really like looking at it, looking at stuff that's drawn well, designed well, right? It's just there, like, it's just like how people like Breaking Bad, I guess, right? That's also art, and this is also visual art, right? So just want to go to the art museum, right? And show her. But we went to the museum, right? And in Bangalore, if you go to the art museum, it's right next to a science museum. Went to the art museum, and this is exactly what they told us at the counter. This is me after hyping up the art museum to my wife and saying, this is a really cool place. I have to take you there. We have to go and check out all the artwork that's done. This is what they said at the counter. Sir, current is off. It'll come back after half an hour, maybe. That was what they said in a museum, which is run on a subsidized government fund or whatever you call it, which is basically some help from the government to keep this museum running. The power has gone off. They don't have a generator. They don't have a UPS. Dude, there are like some shady DVD stores near my house that have freaking... First of all, there are DVD stores near my house. I don't know why they still have it, right? But they have UPSs and generators. You can't get like a generator or some power backup for a national museum, really. That's where you prioritize. That's how you prioritize stuff. And it was really stupid, man. And then I was thinking, like, how can they not put in any effort into maintaining a museum? And right next to the art museum is a science museum. Now, I don't know if you've gone to the science museum in Bangalore. And if you haven't, you should never go, right? And I've been there as a child, which is ideally the only time that you should go there. And it's basically just stuff about how, man, progress from using just brute force and, you know, manpower literally, right? And into developing machines and to using animal power and then into developing engines and so on, right? My wife wanted to go there because she hasn't been there as a kid, right? And I went there and it was just the same as how it was when I was a kid. Just a bunch of kids. And the thing is, the museum as such is amazing, right? There are a lot of things which actually shows, like, this is how an engine works. This is stuff that we normally use. This is how a car works. This is how an ignition system works, right? But there were all these stupid kids running around the entire place, and they were just pressing all these buttons, pulling all these levers, and they were doing it in such a rapid motion. It's almost like a competition. How many things can I screw up in 1 hour, right? And all the parents were like, yeah, do whatever you want over here. There's something about kids, man. Like I'm married now, right? And obviously I do want to have kids and all that shit. But it's just other people's kids that are so annoying. And I know some of you listening to it will be like, oh, but eventually I'm going to be part of the same problem. I'm going to have kids that are annoying to someone else. Yeah, maybe, and I don't care, right? But it's just other people's kids. That's the hypocrite I am. I just don't like the shit that other people do. But when I do the same shit, I feel I'm doing it better than them, right? No one else has felt arrogant like this, right? So that was it. And I think they were doing such a horrible job. And some of it, like, there were a couple of exhibits. There's one particular exhibit over there, right? Which is this amazing system where this ball that goes to a system of pipes, and because of gravity, this ball, which is not compelled by any other force, just by gravity, it goes in loops. In certain cases, it like bounces off a stool and then goes to the next pipe, right? And it's all beautifully arranged around this entire museum. And there were all these kids who were like holding these balls and prevent it and trying to disrupt it. And if you can't handle a museum, I don't think these parents should figure it out, right? They can't handle a museum. I don't think they're going to handle any kind of system. Just stay out, do whatever unruly kids are supposed to do. And I think there's too much of effort now to civilize these unruly kids. And I think we should completely stop that, right? And parents, if you're listening, if you have an unruly kid or you think you have an unruly kid, just leave that kid to Mother Nature, right? And eventually, they'll find someone who can course correct. I think that's what we are to start doing right now, man. And just seeing all of the disruption over there by all these kids in the museum, it made me realize maybe that's why that art museum, they didn't even give a shit about a generator. It's like, at least we'll get a break. Yeah. So that's how day one went of the holidays, right? And then we realized, okay, we have to do something. Let's go out. Now, we wanted to go out, right? And now when you, I don't know if you had this similar problem when you plan a vacation, but there are certain places that are really beautiful places, right? The issue is that they have really shitty options for you to stay in it. And I think something changes when you're married, when you're single. When you're single, like, you don't really care about the place that you're staying. It could be like a shady lodge where some unmarried couples come and just whatever, have their one night stand and all of that, right? Or it's a bunch of people just drinking Kode's rum and playing cards, just trying to get away. And you don't mind staying over there because you know that you're only going to stay there for a day and you just need a place to keep your stuff and need a place to literally take a shit and have a shower in. Not even shower, have a bucket bath in and then go because you're going to enjoy like the place outside. But now as a married couple, you're obviously thinking of shit, right? Like, how do I make sure that we stay in a place that's safe? How do I make sure that, you know, the rooms are clean, that it has decent amount of basic stuff, right? And that it's comfortable. It shouldn't be a crappy place. And there are so many of these beautiful places in India, which I don't know, for some reason, have kind of just closed their minds in tourism and said, like, we will not have a good hotel over here. So the hotels are either like some 28,000 rupees or it's like 2,100 and it looks like a super horrible place. Like, the first image of it on bookings.com is like a plastic chair. Dude, I don't want to go to a place where there's a freaking plastic chair in the pictures that is advertising your place. This is the picture that is going to drive commerce to your place. And if it's a plastic chair in it, it just shows, is that the best that you can? I don't even know what's the worst shit that's going to be there when I eventually come and book myself over there, right? So that is something that is really confusing when you're especially booking a vacation. And there was Mangalore that I wanted to go. And if anyone is there for Mangalore, if you show me a place which is in the budget of 5,000 a night, which is decent, I will definitely drive commerce to that place through this podcast or through anyone. I'll use Ankur Variku. Screw it. I'll use Ankur Variku and get him to drive business to that place. Also, if you're an entrepreneur, just start a freaking hotel where it's 5,000 rupees per night in Mangalore, man. And that's a really beautiful place. Amazing people, amazing food, amazing beaches. It's a beautiful place. But just no place to stay over there. It's almost like they're like, we're cool, but we don't want you guys to come and see our place. Just stay wherever you are. And there should be some place which is slightly affordable and slightly better. So what we ended up doing is, and you know, I'm from Chennai, right? And my family obviously moved to Bangalore. My parents, my dad and mom, everyone thinks that Bangalore is objectively a little better because of the better, more habitable and livable climate and weather and all of that shit, right? And the a running joke is that Chennai is a horrible place, Bangalore is a great place. And even when I started doing stand-up, I realized most of the stand-up comics who come and do Chennai and Bangalore have the same ongoing old joke, right? Chennai is way worse than Bangalore, Bangalore is way better than Chennai, Bangalore is way cooler and all of that. But actually, Chennai is very underrated, a very underrated place. Like, we were trying to see what are all the places that we could go to, and we just happened to, for the heck of it, because my cousins were doing some get-together on the weekend, had family, meeting. I just said, like, okay, you know what, let's directly just look at hotels in Chennai, right? And there were some insanely good hotels for amazing prices per night. And these, the reviews were great, the photos look good. So we decided, you know what, I can't believe I'm ever going to do this in 30 years. And my parents still don't believe I did it, right? I said, let's book a holiday to Chennai, right? Not a family holiday, let's just go there. It's kind of like a staycation, right? But a different place. Staycations is great. You're having an amazing holiday in your city, but at the back of your head, there's that feeling like, oh, something can happen today because I have family over here and they might need me and I might have to abandon the staycation and go back and take care of business and come back. And then I've just wasted like some few hours of my staycation. But if you do a staycation in some other place, I guess that's called a vacation, but you kind of avoid that entire problem, right? So I think that's basically what we ended up doing. We saw Chennai. I was like, this is a place not many people vacation at and vacation in, rather. And the hotels looked amazing. So we booked two nights and we had a great time. The hotel was amazing, right? And I think that's the kind of place that you need sometimes. Like, you know, a resort is cool, a beach is cool, all of that is cool. And by the way, Chennai has great beaches too. But, you know, just going to a nice place, staying there, has a great breakfast, a great pool, a great sauna, great gym, just work out, just do a little bit of, or 20 minutes of sauna, then enjoy yourself a good breakfast, just eat, meet a few friends, meet family, and have a great time. And I think that was a very unplanned vacation. I never thought I'd ever do this, go on a winter vacation to Chennai, but it ended up being one of the best things that I've done in terms of vacations. And also had a lot of rest. And I think that's something, right? Vacations are almost the only time where you get 8 hours of sleep. Sometimes it's hard. I like to get 8 hours of sleep, but it's hard because now I have that thing when it's towards like the end, when it's nearly the end of my, you know, my rest and it's about to be the morning, like, oh shit, is it going to be one of those days where I wake up late and I feel really good about my sleep, but now I know half the day is gone and I've got a good start. I have to rush into a meeting and I end up taking a meeting from my bed. It becomes a horrible day for the rest of the entire time that you're awake, right? You're just cribbing about, oh shit, I could have just woken up a little bit, 1 hour. I could have woken up 1 hour early and I could have done something for myself. I could have maybe written like one joke or just maybe listened to my recording for my previous set, or I could have done a workout, or I could have just woken up early and planned my work day a little better. So you have that thing. I think that's the anxiety about having 8 hours of sleep. Now there's too much of, I think it goes back to the productivity thing, but it also, eventually, even this productivity, the reason why we're all so addicted to this word productivity is probably because we have this anxiety of us not doing the stuff that we're actually supposed to be doing, right? Everyone has that. Everyone has one thing that, oh shit, I'm supposed to be doing that, but I procrastinated for so long and now I don't feel like doing it. And today is going to be one of those other days that I just go to bed not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And that's kind of how I feel when I have like a full 8 hours of sleep. I think 8 hours of sleep is something that you should not have every day, because then it becomes like, you know, it becomes like one of those things like, you know, if you have like pizza every day, then you start hating pizza. And I think 8 hours should be like one of those things that you reward yourself with after a long period of working, like some days where they've only had like 5 to 6 hours of sleep. I think that's just my opinion. I know there's a lot of talk. If you read Matthew Walker about why do we sleep, or why we sleep, or whatever that's called, right? And about how you should have a full 8 hours of sleep, and how, people like Reagan, people like Margaret Thatcher, they all had less hours of sleep and they ended up getting Alzheimer's, and how having less sleep increases your risk of mental breakdowns and mental health issues and potential addictions by a huge factor. It's still quite hard, guys, just getting in 8 hours. Unless you sleep really early. I think the trick is sleeping really early to get 8 hours of sleep, right? You just have to sacrifice that thought saying, you know what, I'm not going to be cool in the night. I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to watch any Netflix. I'm not going to do much. I'm not going to meet some friends. I'm just going to stay at home, eat dinner, and then sleep, which I can't see happening in the next 40 years at least. So I don't know how I'm going to have these 8 hours of sleep, but at least in these holidays, because you don't have work, I guess, right? Though now many people are actually working on the last week. And I know a lot of people take pride in it also. And yeah, to each their own. But I feel the last week should be a mandatory vacation for everybody. And I'm saying this even though my day job is as HR and we have to reject people who are applying for it. But in an ideal world, right? The last week should be a mandatory off. It's so strange when you're a HR, I've just realized this, right? Every complaint that people have about the HR work policies of a particular company can be solved in a very simple thing. Just by saying, hey, I know this sucks, but unfortunately you're poor and you have to keep a job. That's why you're here and you have to make sacrifices. I don't like it. Nobody likes working a 9-to-5 job. Everyone wants to be doing what they love to do, right? But unfortunately, not everyone has the money to. If you're rich, by the way, and your parents have the money to, then you shouldn't be working a 9-to-5. You should be doing drugs. That's ideally what you should be doing. All right. Starting this on a very positive note. I'll tell you something that happened in Chennai, man. I was talking about kids in this earlier in this podcast and kids in the museum. I'll tell you what happened. Okay, I was in Chennai. Wife and me were working out and facing the gym. There's a beautiful view of the Chennai skyline at this beautiful hotel. And there's also this infinity pool, right? And there was this kid, and I was looking forward to that. I'm going to work out hard, go to work out a sweat, go take a shower, and go jump in the pool, right? Looking forward to it. And there was this kid in the pool, okay? And as I was working out, saw this kid, evidently didn't know swimming, was just there in like a pair of normal shorts, breathing the wrong way, and spitting out water, and swallowing water, and coughing, and burping, all the stuff that happens in a pool. And there's a kid who does not know how to use that pool to swim. And I was just seeing that kid spit out water routinely. I was like, oh, there goes my entire plan of swimming and having a nice swim by myself. And then I was complaining about this to my wife, right? I was like, oh my God, these stupid kids. Why are they so annoying? This kid can't even swim and can't even keep the pool clean and can't even use the kid's section of the pool. He's using my section of the pool because in my world, that pool is mine, right? It's not the kid's. And I was complaining very loudly. And, you know, here's something, man. If you're married or in your relationship, you have to be careful of what you talk to your wife when there are other people around you, right? That's a number one lesson I would teach other people who are married. Not anything about finances, because I don't have any knowledge about that. Not anything about, like, you know, how to accept responsibility and investments. That's listening to the wrong podcast for all of that, right? But if you're with your wife and there are other people in the room, just be careful of what you talk to her. Because you both are hanging out the whole day and the whole time, right? So you guys are super comfortable and you talk about literally everything. But then when there's someone next to you, you're like, oh shit, this person could be listening to our conversation. And I was complaining about this stupid kid drinking water and spitting it out in the pool. And there was another lady who was using the treadmill, right? And she was at it. She was like working on a huge sweat, very focused on a workout. And she was just like, you know, two treadmills away from us. And then we realized after a workout was done, she went to the area near the pool. And that kid said, Mom, did you watch me swim? I was bitching about this kid in front of his mother. And the mother didn't even respond, which means I think I'm making up my own story, saying that maybe she agreed with me also. Maybe she also hated that kid. I have no idea. But yeah, man, I think that's the only advice I would give. Never, or rather, be careful of what you talk to your wife and other people around. It's very scary. And I know, like, I think people love eavesdropping. I think eavesdropping is one of the best things, right? I have done it at different cafes when people are having a huge fight, like there's a, especially if it's a couple and they're having a fight, and like, oh shit, what exactly went wrong in this? And that's the best thing. I remember one time, I'll leave you guys with this last story. I was like at a cafe and I'd gone to meet another comedian. We were working on something together, right? And I was at the cafe. She was waiting. I had to wait for a while, right? And she's going to come and meet me, this other comedian. And there was another table just right behind me, and there was this lady and a potential candidate. I guess she was doing some kind of an interview to recruit this guy. And this interviewer had asked the candidate, hey, do you have a pen? And the candidate said, no, but let me go get it. And the candidate went off and was trying to find a pen. And I had a pen with me, right? And I overheard and I get, hey, ma'am, you can use my pen. I said, thank you. And then she muttered this to herself. Looks like we have an eavesdropper. What a hypocrite. It's like, looks like you don't have a place to conduct an actual interview. Stop using public property as an interview workspace and then say like, hey, why are you listening to this? Because you're freaking speaking in a public workspace. That's why. So, yeah, you can't avoid, right? You can't avoid it. When someone's having a conversation, you have to listen to the conversation, right? And yeah, so if you're with your wife, just be careful because you may be bitching about another third person. And there's someone in the room who's related to that third person. So don't end up in the spot that I was in. Thank you guys for listening. That was basically this week's episode. I'm going to do this every week. I'm going to come once a week. And however shitty it is, I'm going to give you company, going to keep you good company as much as the best I can, right? I'm going to start this again. I'm going to have guests on. We'll do 2 episodes a week. I'll come and do 1 episode a week. And the other episode, I'll have a special guest and we'll have a conversation. So it'll be back as normal and hopefully it'll keep you company and let's get this thing started. I hope you guys have a great year and hope you guys have good stuff planned ahead. I hope all the good stuff happens to you and we shall stay in touch. Thank you so much guys for listening and see you next week.